You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Queen Katie here. This is one of the last of our Patreon episodes that we are running on the main feed while we are wrapping up our summer break. I just wanted to give a little disclaimer in case this is anybody's first time visiting Queen's podcast. We curse, we are informal, and because this episode used to live behind the paywall, there might be, you know, some excessive silliness, some dogs barking, some personal anecdotes, but we thought this was a really important story to share with everybody. So we hope you enjoy. And yeah, if you don't like your history a little bit tipsy and a little bit bitchy, this is not the podcast for you. Cheers, bitches.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey, Katie. What's up?
Oh, my gosh.
So we're back again.
But we were off during Pride Month.
Oh, it's my day. It's my month.
It's your month. It's the month of your birth, and it's also, you know,
the gays.
Woo! Well, Nathan, yeah, like I said, we took Pride Month off, but during that month, I went down a rabbit hole about something, and I asked you yesterday if you'd really knew anything about this topic, and it seems like you don't. So are you ready for some Katie story time?
Yeah.
So yeah, today we are going to talk about an event in history called the White Night Riots. So this is the White Night Riots. And so before I get started, Nathan, let me ask you if any of these names sound familiar to you. Dan White, George Moscone, or Harvey Milk?
Okay, Harvey Milk, Avi. Yeah. I know that one. But the other two, I don't. Gay shame.
No.
Teach me.
I think Harvey Milk's the only one of these three people that was gay. And he was the only name that I knew going into this as well. So let's meet these three people and set the scene. The story takes place in San Francisco in the 70s. Harvey Milk, which, if anybody doesn't know who that is, he was the first openly gay man to ever be elected to office. He was
Cali. He was going back to Cali.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. He was on the board of advisors in San Francisco, which San Francisco, I didn't really go into why they do this, but they don't have like a city council. They call it the board of advisors. But it's basically the same thing. So
Very San Francisco
for them to just be like, we're going to do this.
Going to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot to ask you, are you drinking anything good today, Nathan?
Oh, no, I could go get something.
I mean, that's up to you. I'm having some rosé.
Let's take a quick pause.
Let's take a quick pause before we get into the story for Nathan to go get a drink. All right. All right. So you got a drink now? It looks like you got a can of something. What you drinking?
Flowers in your hair. Ranch water.
Love it. Refreshing. Anyway, so it's the 70s. We're going to San Francisco with flowers in our hair. And Harvey Milk is the first openly gay person elected to public office. He's on the board of advisors. So
yes.
One thing you need to know about the political landscape at the time is that it's kind of new, that it's not like illegal to be gay in California.
Okay.
Like within the last like couple of decades. So it wasn't illegal to like go to a gay bar, but the gay community and the police have this really, really, really toxic relationship with each other.
It's awful.
It's bad, bad, bad. The cops would go into gay bars and arrest these guys that were like gay on the DL, but then like they couldn't hold them for anything because they weren't doing a crime.
Oh, you're wearing women's socks.
Oh, so you're gonna arrest you straight to jail. They'd bring them to jail and then like have to let them go because they hadn't done anything. But then it would, you know, but then these people are outed because like who's arrested is public record, you know?
I don't like this. I don't like this already.
No. Yeah. It was a real dick move. Here at Queen's Podcast, we call that a dick move.
Can't stress this enough. Horrible decision.
Yeah.
Hey, keep going, Katie.
Don't fucking out people that aren't ready to be out in the 70s. Yeah. So, now. Don't fucking out anybody. It's none of your
not cool move, bro.
Not cool move, police force. So that kind of sets the scene and what we're going into the story with already a bad relationship with the cops and the gay community at the time. San Francisco at the time, like a quarter of their population was gay. So it was,
Still.
It's probably, might be more now, but it was just starting to become.
I'm just saying.
My whole life that I can remember, San Francisco has always been like
gay.
And it was like becoming that at this point.
Okay.
So yeah. And it seems like the police department is really starting to resent all these gays moving in and cleaning up the streets. I don't fucking know. Like they don't like it. They don't like it. And it's a bad look for them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's pivot and talk about Harvey Milk. He was an openly gay guy from New York and he moved to San Francisco in the 60s. From early on, Harvey had been like this really huge advocate for the gay community. And he had been nicknamed the mayor of Castro Street. And Castro District is like the gayest.
Gay.
Hella gay.
Hella gay.
That's Harvey Milk. And let me tell you about George Moscone, who's probably a lesser known name. He was the actual mayor of San Francisco, not just the mayor of Castro Street.
Is he related to like mascarpone cheese? No, I don't know.
I don't know.
I just like cheese, Katie.
I like cheese too, okay. But I don't know that. So, I don't know that
cheesy
one.
Cheesy George.
So Cheesy George, he's the mayor of San Francisco, and he's actually a pretty progressive guy. He's a straight dude, but he recognizes that our city is really diverse, and he really wanted his staff to reflect that. So he would make sure to hire women and people of color and people of mixed faiths in his.
I love this.
But he was not popular with the police because when he became mayor, he put a bunch of rules in place for them. And one of them was no drinking on the job. And that really pissed the police off.
Lame. They needed beer.
They really needed beer. Yeah, so I don't know a whole lot about, I didn't go down a rabbit hole about Moscone's views or anything, but he seems like a pretty progressive guy, and I like that he went out of his way to hire a mixed bag, you know, not just the status quo, you know?
Yes, love that.
Also, the Jonestown Church, the People's Church, they're started off in California, and their whole thing, besides the everything about George Jonestown, like one cool
awful
thing is that Jim Jones like really pushed for the races to be equal. Like he was really into like civil rights and stuff. So they were
good
huge,
for you, except you.
Except for everything else you did. Cool. But they were like, the People's Church was always showing up at City Hall to like volunteer for George Moscone. That has nothing to do with the story. I just thought you'd appreciate that tidbit.
Tax write-off. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was like, we can pay
volunteer
off,
our
like,
time. Yeah.
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 I'm making the money symbol.
You're making money moves. All right. George was also like, yeah, like I said, he was a straight guy, straight cis dude, married, four young kids at home. So that's Harvey and that's George. Let me introduce the villain of the story, Dan White.
Okay, Dan.
These are the White Knight Riots. So Dan White.
Dan is the most white bro name ever.
Dan. Yeah. Just
keep going.
Dan. Dan White was much more conservative, though he like still considered himself a Democrat. But he was also on the board of advisors, but he is an ex-cop. So he's friends with everybody in, all the cops. The New York Times described Dan White as defender of home, the family, and religious life against homosexuals, pot smokers, and cynics. Which, all right.
This is not my, this is.
He would have hated us. Oh, man. He would have hated us.
Oh, my God. He's a homosexual pot smoker. Oh, shit.
And a cynic.
Burn it to the ground.
Yes.
He would have not liked Nathan at Queen's Podcast. Dan, you suck balls.
No. Oh, Dan has only begun to suck balls. So Dan White is also obviously a straight white guy.
He's and got he's, kids.
And he's and married. A yeah.
He's he sounds like my ex-boyfriend. Oh, God. Here, keep going, Katie.
Okay. At first, Dan White and Harvey Milk, even though they had opposing views, at first they got along. They were friends. Harvey Milk attended Dan White's son's christening. Like, they were buddies despite their differences at first, but eventually they just disagreed on so many things that they just couldn't see eye to eye, to the point where, like, they wouldn't even speak to each other. If they had something to say to each other, they'd like tell their assistants to go tell the other one's assistant.
Like, so you remember the milk didn't go with the cookies.
Okay.
They did not.
It made me think of, do you know, like, when you were a little kid and you were like in a fight with your brother or sister?
Yes.
And you'd like
go
tell
them.
Go tell her. I said, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's so juvenile.
Stupid.
Yes. Yes. Like little fucking children. So the date is November in 1978, and Dan White is just like, fuck this. I don't want to work in this city council anymore. I'm not getting anything done. Government jobs pay garbage. Like, I could be making more money and actually making a difference somewhere else. I'm putting in my resignation. And Harvey Milk was super excited about this. Whenever a board of advisor member resigns, the mayor gets to fill the spot until the next election. Harvey Milk is like, fuck yes, we can put somebody progressive in there until the next election, right? And so obviously Moscone's like, yeah, we're going to put somebody in whose views more align with ours.
With what we're thinking.
What we're trying, yeah.
Gotcha.
But Dan White hadn't thought about this because he realized, oh, fuck, now that I've resigned, they're going to put in whoever. And he's getting pressure from his police buddies. And he was just like, I've made a mistake. And he tries to go back and he's like, can I take back my resignation? And Moscone was like, I'm going to have to think about this. Like, let me sit with this for a couple of days. Because he does seem like he was a really level-headed dude. Like, I didn't read too much about Moscone. But so I don't want to sit here and sing his praises. But everything I did read about him in this story was good. Yeah. Yeah. He was like, let me think about it. But then the next day or so came back and was like, I'm sorry, but it's a no. Like, you can't take back your resignation. No takesies backsies of the
resignation. Dan.
Okay, Dan. Harvey Milk seems like he was really full of himself. He told Moscone, like, if you give Dan White his job back, I am going to drag your name through Castro District. You won't be able to be hired as dog catcher, or you won't be elected as dog catcher.
What the hell, man?
He was probably right, but he was full of himself. Like, yeah, Harvey Milk's being like, I've got so much clout that if you give Dan White your job back, you're done in this city. It just also shows you that Harvey Milk knew how popular he was, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how popular he was. So fast forward about 2 weeks later. In November 1978, Dan White leaves his house one morning and he heads up to City Hall. On him, he has a fully loaded gun and a pocket full of bullets that he has wrapped in a handkerchief so they don't, like, jingle in his pocket. So no one knows that that's what he has in his pocket.
Y'all can't see my face.
You're like, where's this story going?
Yeah. Can't see my face right now, but it's questionable. I am questioning.
Okay.
This.
Before I go any further, though, if someone's leaving their house with a gun and then taking extra bullets that they're wrapping up in a handkerchief so they don't make noise, doesn't it sound like they're premeditating something?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. A crime, yes. Maybe? Yes. Okay.
Bitterness. Okay. Not very nice.
Put a pin in that. We'll get back to it. He arrives at City Hall and remembers they recently installed metal detectors. So he sneaks in through a window in the basement.
Okay.
Also sounds like he's premeditating something, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, yeah. That seems very sketch, sis.
Someone that works in the basement, I'm not really sure what their job was, though, like, saw him sneaking in and was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he goes, oh, I left my keys at home. I didn't have my keys. It just doesn't make any fucking sense. But the guy in the basement was like, this is above my pay grade. I'm trapped in the basement. Came in through the basement window.
Katie, good.
Yes. So
Dan White in the basement.
Dan White is in the basement with a pocket full of bullets, and he is in City Hall, and he is ready to go. So he heads to the mayor's office. He heads to Moscone's office. You know, I don't think Moscone was surprised to see him. He was like, oh, he probably wants to talk more about getting his job back. So he's like, come in, close the door. And he's ready to, like, for them to maybe, like, have an argument. Moscone is like, look, let's have a drink. Let's talk about it. It's the 70s. So it's like, you know, Mad Men. He's got a full drink cart in his office.
Let's do some coke and drink about it.
Yes. It's the 70s in San Francisco, 100%.
Yes.
And so he turns around to pour Dan White a drink, and he turns back around to hand him the drink, and Dan shoots him.
What? Okay, wait. Hold, slow down, Katie.
Okay.
You can't go from serving someone a drink to shooting them.
Well, that's like, what happened.
That is a leap.
It's a leap.
That's a journey. It's a leap. And not the journey that the uptown girl.
So,
not that kind of journey.
I hand you my drink and you shoot me in the chest. Four times.
This is horrible. Why am I laughing?
Because I'm such a engaging storyteller. Everything leading up to this, the crux of the story to me is that, and we'll get to it in a minute, but everything leading up to this sounds like he went to City Hall to do this, right? He left the house with the gun. He came in through the basement window. He was doing this on purpose. Wouldn't you say? Does this sound like it's all been premeditated?
I'm making a very negative face right now.
Gross. Yeah. You can't see it, but Nathan does not love the murder. Oh, yeah. And so, spoiler alert, Moscone is dead. He dies. The first shot didn't kill him. I think it was the last shot that actually killed him. But he'd be dead. And so Dan stops, reloads his gun, and then leaves the office and is heading for Harvey Milk's office. So he's heading that way, and he bumps into Diane Feinstein. Do you know this name?
Oh, magic.
She was the, for listeners that don't know, Diane Feinstein is, is she a congresswoman?
Yes.
She's in politics.
She's in the house.
She's still working in the house. Okay. And but at the time she was the president of the board of advisors. So she would have been like Harvey Milk's direct boss. She sees Dan and she's like, "Oh, Dan, I wasn't expecting to see you here today, but I have some things I'd like to talk to you about, blah blah blah." And he goes, "Yeah, but let me come right back because I have something to do real quick," which is a very daunting thing to say with what's about to happen next. Also, how everyone wasn't just like, were there just a bunch of gunshots? What was that?
I'm not sure. Right, right.
I don't know if Moscone's office was like soundproof or something.
That's what I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. So he rocks up to Harvey Milk's office, and Milk actually had a radio reporter in his office. He was being interviewed for something. And then Dan White is just like, "Can we talk?" And Harvey is just like, "Ugh, this fucking guy." And he's like, "Hey guys, I'll be right back. I gotta go talk to this asshole real quick. BRB. And so they go into like a meeting room. Dan White closes the door behind him. And Harvey Milk, I guess, is like, "Oh shit, I think something's wrong," and like tries to leave. And so then Dan White shoots him a total of 5 times. And
what?
Dies on the scene. Yes, I know. This you knew it was normal. Coming, but you're still so exasperated.
This is normal.
This is fine.
This is fine.
Yes.
It's casually burning around me. Oh, yes. This is fine.
This is fine. And then White opens the door and flees the scene. Like, he gets the fuck out of City Hall as fast as he fucking can.
Hashtag same.
Yeah. Well, you know.
When you're a criminal, you gotta run.
Maybe don't shoot people and you won't need to leave the scene so quickly. So Diane Feinstein sees him like GTFOing and she is like, maybe I did hear gunshots. And she finds Harvey Milk's body and like she tries to get his pulse and her finger enters a gun wound.
Oh.
Like a bullet
that's
wound.
That's not fun.
Can you?
Poor darling.
No.
Poor darling. Poor
darling. Except
sweet
she is
baby,
mayor now.
What's her name?
Diane Feinstein?
Sweet baby Diane Feinstein.
But she's mayor now because as the president of the board of counselors or whatever the fuck it's called, she is now mayor because Moscone's dead. So she was the first female mayor of San Francisco. I wish it happened.
Some dude died.
Because some dude got shot. I wish it had happened under better circumstances. Very, very dramatic. I actually don't know anything about her politics either. So I'm hesitant to say like I love.
Have you ever wished that you had a direct line to your pediatrician to ask them all the questions that constantly crop up while parenting? Well, we hear you and we have been there too. That's why we launched the Bites of Health podcast. Every morning, we'll answer a commonly asked pediatric question in 5 minutes or less. You can tune in while you're making your second cup of coffee or from the school drop-off line. Who are we? I'm Dr. Jess Steyer, a public health scientist and also co-host of the Unbiased Science podcast. Every day, I'll chat with one or both of your new pediatrician besties. Dr. Dina DiMaggio, a general pediatrician, and Dr. Anthony Porto, a pediatric gastroenterologist. We'll talk about all the things related to our kids' health, from dealing with a colicky infant to navigating puberty in the teenage years. So be sure to tune in to Bites of Health, now live on all podcast platforms.
Hello, everyone. It's Takuya here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is... Well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.
I'm hesitant to say that I love any of these people because I don't know anything about most of their politics, but I do. Good for her for being mayor. I wish it had gone down differently. she has to now, I don't want to make this about Diane Feinstein, but she now has to do like a press conference and she's literally got Harvey Milk's blood on her. And she has to go out and do this press conference. Like, she has his blood on her
awkward
clothes. And she has to go out there and be like, Moscone and Milk are both dead. We're looking. I know it was Dan White. I saw him in the building. We're looking for Dan White. And, like, the police officers that were next to her while she made this press conference said that she was shaking so bad they thought she was going to pass out, which...
I would, too.
Yeah! Fuck! I mean, I don't know. I didn't look into like what their relationship was like, but I would assume she was at least friendly with Moscone and Milk. Regardless, to find somebody dead and then rush to go check for a pulse and then, oops, my finger is in your neck hole or whatever. Like,
my finger is in your neck hole.
Your necks aren't supposed to have holes. I'm going to refill my wine. I need another drink.
Cheers, bitch.
Cheers, bitch. So Diane Feinstein is giving this press conference and she's like, Dan White did this. I saw him run out. It was Dan White. Why isn't Dan White already in prison? Like, what the fuck? Because you would assume that, yeah, they were like, oh, everyone saw him. Now he's gone. They saw him run out. You would assume he would have been arrested immediately, right?
Yeah.
Nope. Because remember, he's friends with all the cops.
Oh.
And he just killed a gay guy who the cops all hate.
Ew.
Yeah. T. Dan White, because he is a straight, white, friends of cops, he got the luxury of just going home after this. And so he calls his wife.
His wife after he fucked.
Killed all these people. Well,
I can't.
What everybody didn't know is that him and his wife were separated. Like, he hadn't told any of his friends, coworkers, anything.
Of course, so, you would divorce that piece of shit. Sorry. No.
And so he calls his wife, though, and he's like, honey, I think I did something bad. So
you did.
Yeah. And so they meet up. They meet up at their church. We don't know what they say exactly, but we know that she convinces him to turn himself in.
Okay. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. But could you fucking imagine if this had been a person of color? Do you think they would have had the luxury of being able to go home and then go to their church and
you
make
You can't see my face right now, but my face says no.
Absolutely not. And he was just allowed to, because he was friends with all the cops, they're like, if it had been any other suspect, they would have been like, we know where that motherfucker lives. Let's go get him. But this
Gross.
One, because he was a friend with the cop and he killed a gay guy. They were just like, maybe we'll find him. Maybe we won't. But he turned himself.
That was a thing. That was a thing back then.
But he did turn himself in. So yeah, like I said, we don't really know exactly what him and his wife talked about, but she must have convinced him to turn himself in. So cool, I guess.
I like your wife.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I just really... So he rocks up into the police station after killing two people. He just killed two people. Complete, like, two people are dead. Moscone had four children. Those four children don't have a dad anymore. Harvey Milk had a whole life and a whole community that really relied on him to push their, what's important to them. Gone now. The cops were not out looking for him. He had the liberty to just like rock up whenever he fucking felt like it.
Oh, these assholes.
They weren't there was no manhunt. There was nothing. But he did turn himself in. So he walks in, turns himself in. They put him in one of those interrogation rooms. But to say he's getting preferential treatment would be such a understatement, because they're like, do you want any food? Like, can I go get you some takeout? Like, they brought him burgers. Like, they being like, it's okay, buddy. Like, yeah, we'll figure this out together. Do you think most criminals that are being interrogated have their friends make them McDonald's runs in the middle of their... No. Like, he was getting very special treatment as a murder suspect.
I would be angry.
I'm angry.
I'm
angry.
I want to punch somebody in the face.
It's not cool. It's not cool at
all. It's not cool. That's not cool.
My Murdering people.
Not cool. You heard it on Queen's podcast.
Queen's, we're going to take the controversial stance in that we don't think you should murder people.
Murder. Not cool.
Ah! Don't do it.
Don't keep going, but keep going, Katie.
Okay. So Dan gives his testimony. And this is why I kept bringing up how everything sounded to me like he left his house with the intent to kill people. But he gives his testimony, but he swears up and down in every which way that it was not premeditated. He didn't know he was going to do it until he did it. And I'm like, excuse me, what? Excuse me.
Yeah, you did.
What? Well, because let's look at the facts.
Oh, I need to take several breaths. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, we're good. Okay. Go ahead.
The facts are he left his house with a gun in the first place. That wasn't, like, he wasn't usually a gun guy.
Suspicious.
And then he had extra bullets in his pocket that he wrapped in a handkerchief and put in his pocket so it wouldn't jingle.
Suspicious.
That sounds like not only premeditated, but super planning. Super planning.
Yeah.
He came in through the basement window to avoid the metal detectors.
Oh my God.
So he took that extra step to avoid metal detectors. So that is also pre-planning that you're going to go in and do something. After shooting Moscone, he told Dianne Feinstein, I have to go do something real quick. It sounds like he was premeditating his next step.
I don't like this guy.
Yeah. I just don't understand how someone could be like, but it wasn't premeditated with all of that, you know? Yeah.
Gross.
The aftermath of the murders before Dan's trial was an absolute media storm. Moscone's funeral had over 4,000 people attend. Harvey Milk was cremated and his like ashes were distributed somewhere very dramatic. It's perfect. So I don't want to talk about Dan White's trial too much because there are a lot of other, it's very complicated. That could be its own episode. And there are a lot of other podcasts that already cover his trial. If anybody listening wants to learn more, there is a podcast called Maintenance Phase. And they have an episode called The Twinkie Defense. And they talk about this trial in like great detail. Nathan, have you ever heard of the phrase The Twinkie Defense before?
It sounds like my new stage name.
Oh, what?
The Twinkie Defense.
The Twinkie Defense.
I'm a twink.
Oh! I was just like, because he likes snacks? Katie, I don't Katie know. Clint. I didn't get it for a second. Have you ever heard of that phrase before, though?
No, I have not.
And again, if anybody wants more on this, go listening to that episode. It's Maintenance Phase, The Twinkie Defense. Basically, like one of his lawyers argued that he usually ate a really healthy diet. And that day or something, he had ate a Twinkie and the sugar fucked with his brain.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
What happens when you fuck a twink.
It was a ridiculous.
Exactly.
But one thing I do want to say about his trial is that it was a really fucked up situation. Like I said, I'm not going to go into it too much, but like the cops, like his friends that he used to work with, did like fundraisers to raise money for his defense lawyer.
Oh.
Right? Isn't that fucked up? Like,
it's fucked up.
It's like, okay, you can't act like you're non-biased here. And they all wore like shirts under their uniforms for a while, being like free Dan White or whatever. It was just really fucked up.
I don't like this. Assholes.
The jury was also super impartial. Like the jury is supposed to be anonymous and selected in a way that they represent the community as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
instead, the jury was almost entirely made up of
straight white men,
middle-aged to older white straight women who would have been about the age of,
Dan
White's mom. So, like, they all, like, viewed him as a bit of, oh, this poor boy.
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, I don't like. You mean juries in America can be
partial? Yes.
Oh, wow. Imagine that. Sorry.
I read somewhere that one of the defenses that really resonated with the jury was, like, we can't send this man to jail forever. He's got young children at home. Don't take their father away. And I'm like, Moscone had 4 fucking children at home. You took their father away. It just...
I can't.
So the verdict came down, and I know you were already mad, so prepare to get even madder.
I'm taking deep breaths.
He was not convicted of first-degree murder. The jury accepted that he was so depressed that he couldn't have possibly premeditated it. And he was convicted of voluntary manslaughter instead, which is a much lesser charge. So
this asshole.
So saying that he didn't premeditate it, just like
the flames. On the side of my face. Heaving breaths and they're flaming.
Oh, it just makes
me mad. I'm mad.
It makes me so mad. And like, I mean, just the bullets and the handkerchief in your pocket alone. It just pisses me off so
Guilty.
Planning ahead. And also, it takes away, like, because they were like, oh, like, the cops kind of felt like, oh, he just killed a gay guy. Like, he did us a service, you know, like, real quick, let's explain the difference between murder and voluntary manslaughter, because I wasn't sure. I'd only ever heard the term involuntary manslaughter, which is like, let's say a drunk driver hits a pedestrian or something. They didn't do it on purpose. They didn't malicely, but it's still bad. You still killed somebody, you know, so that's involuntary manslaughter. So I was like, okay, what is voluntary manslaughter? And it's basically
dark,
like,
rabbit hole. Yes, Katie went down a dark rabbit hole.
I didn't stay down this one very long, though. Like,
that's good, because I want your mental sanity.
So basically, you've heard of people like committing crimes of passion. That's basically what voluntary manslaughter is. It's like, I was so out of my mind at the time, I didn't realize what I was doing.
Don't murder your husband, please.
You know, not really on my to-do list. Like, I think about that, like, crimes of passion. Like, that's what they say. Like, you walk in on your spouse cheating on you and you just go blind with rage and you
cut their dick off.
Cut their dick off. Yeah. You know what? Cheaters don't need dicks.
They shouldn't have one.
Having a dick is a privilege, not a right. I'm cutting that thing off.
Oh my god. Too real.
Oh my god. Anyway, so that is the difference. So that's what he got charged with. So basically, it's just like, he was so depressed because his wife just left him. He doesn't have a job. And he was just so depressed. And so he was just completely out of his mind. He wasn't in the mental capacity where he could possibly actually premeditate something. And I'm like, the bullets in the handkerchief is, and the window crawling in through the window. Yeah.
I mean, signs. The signs are there.
It makes me so mad. It didn't just make me mad. It made a lot of people mad. People are very, very upset. And this is also incredibly politically charged as well. Like, just the entire gay community is like, I would almost equate it to like the Rodney King. I equate Rodney it King. To like the gay community's Rodney King. Like, when that sentence, when that deliberation came down, the gay community was just like, what the actual fuck? And understandably, I mean, it's very, very well known that Dan White was an ex-cop, and the cops in San Francisco don't like gay people. And so the fact that this guy killed a gay person, and they're just like, oh, but it wasn't murder. You know, people are really pissed off, understandably. Tensions are already high, and the day of sentencing comes around. And Nathan, Dan White, is sentenced to 8 years of prison. You can't see Nathan's exasperated face right now.
Anger.
8 years. He killed two people. I was reading recently about a woman. She's getting pardoned. She killed the man that kidnapped her for sex trafficking, and she was sentenced to life in prison. She's getting...
What?
She's getting let go now. Like, she's been pardoned now, and that's how the story came to me. But I just think of, like, this woman who killed a man to survive got a harder punishment than this man that killed, walked into a building and shot point blank in front of the entire city hall, you know,
what,
like,
in the actual
8 years. Yes. So that was kind of the reaction of everybody in San Francisco, but like a little bit madder. Like, everybody was like, the actual fuck.
Yeah.
They were like, let's break some shit. You know, like, everyone is super pissed off. The gay community is just like, so basically what you're telling the world is, if you kill a gay person, you get off with a slap on the wrist.
I mean, that's not wrong. I feel that.
That's what this sentencing says to that community. How do you...
Yeah,
absolutely. As a gay person, do you feel...
You're murdering me. You're murdering me.
And you're getting a slap on the wrist. Like, does it feel politically charged to you? Like, just from the base level that you know of the story?
I don't like this story, Katie. I love you. This is terrible. Keep going.
Okay. So Harvey Milk's birthday, his 49th birthday, would have been May 21st, 1979.
All right. So he's like a Gemini.
Oh, no. Is he a Gemini? Yeah, he's a Gemini. A group of peaceful protesters formed, and they just wanted to like get media attention. It started out completely peaceful. You can probably tell by my foreshadowing that that's not where it stayed.
Yeah.
It was a group led by local gay activists, and they held signs, they had candles. You can Google, and I'm going to put a couple of images up on our Instagram. You can Google, like, the beginning of this protest was very peaceful. And they were chanting out of the bars and into the streets, which I found incredibly impactful. Like, oh, we're coming out. We're not just gays in the bars. Like, we actually have an agenda.
Yes.
I found that particularly moving. Oh, this was
Moving.
But yeah, it was meant to be peaceful, but then it turned into what is called the White Night Riots. So not that peaceful. As they're marching, they're gathering people. And so they're up to about 5,000 people when they approach City Hall, which is the scene of the crime.
Okay.
And at this point, the crowd's growing. They're growing more frustrated. And it's kind of like when they see the scene of the crime, just shit hits the fan. People get emotional. Everything becomes not peaceful real fucking quick. And that is when this big gay mob attacks City Hall.
And that's when the lights went out in Georgia.
That's a fun song about execution. They are just going ham on this building. They are breaking windows. They're throwing like bricks through windows. They're like pulling down lampposts and like ramming it through like the doors, trying to break in to vandalize the building. They are just tearing this shit. They're setting the bushes on fire.
This bush is on fire.
The leaders of the organization that started this, including Harvey Milk's longtime life partner, were trying to tell everybody, stop this. We don't want to be associated with violence. Like, stop. But they are just like five people against 5,000. So no one's fucking listening to them, you know?
Ugh.
So I hate that. But I mean, when you're that, we've seen that in the last few years here.
Yeah.
Like when people are just at their boiling point, like no one's listening to me. I can't do anything about this injustice. Here's this building I can fucking tear apart. So that's what I'm going to do.
Do not advise.
Do not advise, but that's what they did. And so obviously the cops roll up. We got to stop this big gay mob. And then they see the cops. And that just makes things worse because they're the ones they're the ones that aren't taking this seriously. This is, you know, it just feeds into that tension of the cops versus the gay community. The cops did nothing to subdue the crowd. It just made everything worse. The cops they kind of let them riot for a minute. And then when they went to go shut it down, they were like gassing people, hitting them with their batons. Thank God, at least not shooting anybody, but like it just turned
I'm Helena Bonham Carter, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Secret Heroes, a new series of rarely heard tales from World War II.
They had no idea that she was Britain's top female codebreaker.
We'll hear of daring risk takers.
What she was offering to do was to ski in over the high Carpathian mountains.
Of course it was dangerous, but danger was his friend.
Subscribe to History's Secret Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course, you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww. Yeah.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
Thing done weird things.
Wheel of Urine!
Cat. Cat and Jethro Box of Oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the Box of Oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
The cops were either taking off their badges or putting masking tape over their badge numbers so they wouldn't instead of subduing it at all or like dissuading anybody from continuing with the vandalization of City Hall, is that it added fuel to the fire, figuratively and literally. And the rioters turn all their focus on the cops. What the rioters do is they find the cop cars, and that's what they decide. Like, so they start setting fire to all the cop cars.
Katie, this story is insane.
I'm surprised you didn't know this story, since, you know, keep going.
Keep going. So, I have one eye closed.
If you look in the show notes at the top of page 9, this is
it.
The one.
I see it. I'm
Isn't
on
that an
it.
Awesome picture? I know.
Teddy agrees.
Well, so I've already got this picture scheduled to go up on social media, on Instagram next week, so you guys can see what we're talking about. But it's a picture of this guy. There's a flipped over cop car and just a ball of fire behind him. And there's this guy in a tank top and sweater.
And he's doing this thing. He's going, he's just woo!
Dancing.
Like, he's saying, woo!
Having the fucking time of his life. And so there was... I don't think it was this guy. Teddy really hates injustice. I don't think it was this guy, but I really love this anecdote from the White Knight riots. There was a guy who was caught setting a cop car on fire. And so the cops were like handcuffing him, taking him away. And he goes, make sure to tell the press that I ate too many Twinkies today.
Yes! Winner, the winner, Twinkie chicken, dinner. I love him.
In my mind, it's this gay gentleman doing a little skip in his little bell bottoms.
Free
like,
blowjobs on the corner.
Tell him I ate too many Twinkies.
Love you.
Yes. In total, around 12 cop cars were destroyed this way, which as a taxpayer, I'm sort of like, well, that's kind of pointless. Like, I'm just going to
have 12.
It's just, well, but like, it's just, I'm going to have to pay to replace them. But yeah, I'm sure in the moment it was gratifying. After 3 hours, the cops were like, okay, we need to pull out all the stops. This has gotten out of control. So that's when they start tear gassing the big gay angry mob. And like, they have their guns on them. They're pulling them out on people. But
you pull the guns on the gays. Like, that is like the least threatening people. It's like,
this group, I think, was pretty threatening because they didn't back down. What they did is they went and found a tree, I guess, with like a low hanging branch, like a big ass branch.
The mob
tore this big ass branch off of this tree and charged the cops with it.
What? Like, oh my God.
We're like running at the cops with, you know, like a dozen of them holding this huge tree branch. They were just like, we're fucking done. It had come to a boiling point. And this next part is going to really piss you off. I say that knowing how pissed off you already are at this point.
I'm already pissed off.
The cops, realizing they can't really control the angry mob, they go to Castro Street and they start arresting gay people in the gay bars. Because they're like, oh, we think you're part of this riot.
That's discrimination.
They're like, we think you're part of this riot. So they're like, we're just having a beer. Like, we're nothing to do with the riot.
Discrimination. Yay.
And so there was this one bar on Castro Street called the Elephant.
My brain hurts. Katie, stop. My brain hurts. My brain hurts so bad. No,
I'm almost done.
Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
There was this one bar in the Castro District called the Elephant Walk. The cops went in and started arresting everybody, and they were throwing bar stools. They were beating people with batons. They were arresting people. These people in this bar had nothing to do with the riot. I think they said that they saw somebody from the riot like duck into the bar.
God.
But that does not equal, let me vandalize your small business.
Beat you.
You know? Yes. Yeah, Yeah, it's just, it just feels like they were like, we can't control the angry mob, so let's pick off the people that we can. It was disgusting.
I need several deep breaths.
One okay thing is that the chief of police heard about what was going on at Elephant Walk, and he went down there personally and was like, this is, no, stop.
Yeah.
And he made
as
like a,
one should.
He made like a public statement being like, what those cops did going into the bars was wrong. So yay. I mean, the bar is on the fucking floor here, but one person at least did
yay,
the right thing.
Yay, question mark.
Yeah. The witnesses saw some of the cops later that night at another bar drinking once they were off duty and toasting to Harvey Milk's death.
We're going to end this Zoom meeting. I'm sorry. I love you, Kitty. This is over. It sounds like discrimination.
Yeah.
I cannot.
We're almost done.
I'm about to vomit. I mean, so, I'm literally about to vomit because of these assholes. Keep going, Kitty. I love you.
Aftermath, about 100 people were hospitalized, but no one died that I could tell. So, yay.
yay.
But there was this like big gay town hall meeting the next day. Like all the leaders.
I hope it was super gay. I hope it had all of the fucking flaming homosexual light show, like realness. Like
hosted by Liza Minnelli, MC.
Yes, yeah. please make it gay.
Well, like
make
so
it
actually,
even more gay.
It's not actually a town hall meeting. Just all the people that like are the people that lead the gay activist groups met the next day.
I can't.
And they decided we are taking the official stance that while we regret that it turned violent, no one is to apologize. We are not going to say we're sorry. We're not going to say that we think we did anything wrong. We regret that things got violent, but we're not fucking sorry. This was a long time fucking coming. Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're not going to be violent, but
we're not apologizing for what happened.
We're not. Yeah, exactly. It's about time that we step up and say something.
It's about damn time. Yeah. I think you're really going to like this next quote. So this guy whose name made me laugh, Harry Britt is his name. And I'm like, oh, I'm married to one of those. Harry Britt.
We love you, Steve.
Sorry, Harry Britt. Anyway. So he was one of the main leaders in one of the gay activist groups. And he said in a press conference, now society is going to have to deal with us. We're not just nice little fairies who have hairdressing salons, but we're people capable of violence. We're not going to put up with Dan White anymore. The Dan Whites of the world anymore. And I love that.
I am dancing.
Yeah.
I am dancing as a queer person being like, yes, bitch.
Yes. Yes.
Shut them up. Shut them up.
Dan White ended up only serving 5 years of his 8-year sentence. But I don't want to trigger anybody, but y'all can go Google what happened to Dan White. It rhymes with schmuicide. While Dan White, I don't think, ever received actual justice, this did change the way that the gay community was perceived. Harry Britt is absolutely right. Like, people were like, oh, fuck, they're not just here being passive. They're not just like this community we can ignore. They are capable of fuck around and find out. And so, yeah, I know this story was a bit of a bummer, but at least it set the tone for like, we're not going to.
History, we're not going to take it.
History can
no,
be a bummer.
We're not going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore. Bop, 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 bop.
Well, Nathan, thank you for joining me for story time. I'm sorry that it was a bummer, but I think it was a good story.
No, anyway. That was absolutely history personified. Cheers. Cheers, bitch. Love you.
Love you.